Hey there, everybody. Welcome along to another Tech Talk UK. We're recording this on Sunday, the 14th of January, 2024. Joined this week by Mr. James Honeyball. Hello, mate.
Morning, Kev.
The old fella. I'm not sure what the old fella's doing, actually. I think he's off having a little tour of his grounds and mansion,
yeah.
And just like doing a little stock check on all the rooms to make sure that all the phones are in the right place. So
could be weeks before he's back on.
Yeah, then. I don't know if he'll be. Hopefully, in a fortnight he'll be back. But you know, with the Yates Towers, it's a little bit of a trudge round. Although I think he's got himself an e-scooter now. To cut down on the time span.
Yeah, that's handy. Yeah, great. Was that an upgrade from his Segway? Yeah,
yeah. Can you imagine? Yatesy on a Segway?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can actually. In fact, I'm getting slightly turned on.
Distracted
by the whole thing.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Well, welcome aboard, everybody. Another Tech Talk UK. I guess in a way it's quite nice to mix it up with people, and because I think I've run out of things to say with Richard. Really, I think we both do to some degree, because you end up saying the same things. But then I take some solace from the fact that I don't know. Do you listen to Leo Laporte's stuff anymore, or have you ditched the lot of them?
I don't tend to.
I mean, I still listen mainly for the fact that he does have some decent guests every now and again, although that is now getting stale, and as is his constant begging for money from advertisers and users, whilst equally buying everything, going on lots of holidays, buying a new sort of $60,000-$70,000 car. And now I notice he emphasizes all the time that, oh, this is not the money from the company. This is my money, as if there is a difference. Which has always struck me as very interesting.
But it's a shame. It's a shame, though, isn't it? And I think you might share this sentiment that whole Twit venture hasn't been more successful. Do you know what I mean? I think it feels like we should have a TV network /podcast network plus video that covers this kind of stuff and is really successful.
Yeah.
And it just seems that maybe, you know, even though tech is kind of mainstream and people are interested, it doesn't seem to be, you can't seem to build multi-million pound businesses on it. And this is in comparison to like really stupid YouTube channels. When you actually look at the view count on some absolute dross YouTube channels, they're getting 20, 15 million views.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even your MKBHDs and your top tech YouTubers, you know, they're only going to get a couple of million, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's kind of frustrating. I suppose the guy that got closest was probably LTT. Who's that, Linus?
Yeah, I guess so. And then they hit the buffers, didn't they? Tom Scott. I mean, Tom Scott gets a lot of views on his stuff, you know. And he has just sort of basically stopped.
Yeah.
You know, or having a break or something. You know, quite know what. But I mean, there comes a point where I guess if you take someone like MKBHD, he obviously takes in millions and millions and millions of dollars in income per year, but he certainly pays all of that out because he's paying for a whole team of people, and the Twit network. I mean, initially it was one guy, but the problem is Leo Laporte doesn't know that much about tech.
No,
If you ever listen, I never used to listen to that radio show, but people would phone up with
the
simplest things.
That's the one I used to listen to. Yeah.
The simplest things, and he wouldn't have a clue what to do.
Be completely stumped. It's like my PC's off. There's a big button with on off written on it. What do I do? And he's
anyone in the chat room help?
Exactly.
With this one? I don't know. I mean, I still enjoy listening to the thing. But if you look at their MacBreak Weekly, they just repeat the same things every week, really. It's you know, it's not, and there's no point anymore in listening to several of the flagship shows, if you want to call them that, because they just discuss the same things on each show, you know, which can be interesting, but can also not be. But it's I guess it's the same really for every podcast, really, at the end of the day. But he has made a fortune, you know, but he has wasted it as well. So which could go for all of us, I suppose, to some degree.
We all waste money. Another.
I was going to kick off with a little bit of sort of stuff that I obviously at work I do setups, and I was just going to talk a little bit about the ones I look forward to. Now we got to the point, most listeners know my they don't know the reasons, and I'm not going to go into the reasons, but the person that took the job very recently to work alongside me has got an illness that's going to keep him off long term, so that I am the only tech support partner currently, although I do now have some help. But because of that, because I'm the only one full-time, if you like, doing it, I have to be a little bit more careful. Like, for example, this week I'm off Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Every 2 weeks I'm lucky enough to have 3 days off, which is lovely. In retail, that's pretty unheard of. But I have to be really careful. Like, from Thursday night, Friday morning onwards, I have to keep if I can't get those setups done by the end of Friday, 6 p.m., then they're not going to get touched until Tuesday. Although, as I say, I have now got someone who will do some at the other weekend, this weekend, if you like. So now it's more a question of what is it? If it's iPhone to iPhone, I can do lots of them. You know, it really isn't a problem. I can do I can do up to three at a time, although obviously I have to be a little bit careful, but I can do up to three of those at a time. But if it's something like Android to iOS or iOS to Android, then I do have to be a bit more careful, because some of them are just not that simple to do. Have you ever done an iOS to Android or Android to iOS at all?
No,
it's quite interesting, because actually, if you look at the Apple have an app called Move to, just block my microphone, sorry, I'm being silly. Move to iOS. I don't know if you've ever looked at it. You probably haven't if you've never done that transfer.
I'm aware of it, but never used it.
It's a classic in tech, really. I don't know. I'm just going to have a quick look and see what the current, it's got a terrible rating on the Android app store. It's got a really low rating, which is kind of funny, really. Oh, it's gone up quite a lot. It used to be 2.1, I think. It's gone up to 3.2 now, actually. So that's interesting in itself. It used to be really low, which was odd, because if you read the comments, it's only because it's an Apple app. And most of the people that obviously were commenting on it didn't even ever use it, because they wouldn't be seen dead with an Apple product. But it works pretty well. I mean, it copies everything over. It does all the WhatsApps and everything. And that actually works fairly well, but it can still be quite variable. iOS to iOS, I now, basically, half the time, we're supposed to get them done in 2 hours. And half the time, I was spending an hour to an hour and 15 minutes of that on simply updating to the latest iOS, 17.2.1 currently. And that was taking that long, because our at the very best of times, our internet speed is quite laughable, really, but it's around the 50 megabits per second level, and that drops quite a lot if you're doing two things at the same time on the tech support network. And it's across the company, really. They're looking into it as we speak, and hopefully something will get done about it at some point. But at the moment, it's really, really low speed, when you can consider that I can get, by going to the front of the store with my phone, I can get close to 1,000 megabits per second. Certainly 600 to 700 is very common on the 3 network. Now, I know that's luck of the draw to some degree, because it totally depends where you happen to be. And we're lucky enough to have the right mast with the right backhaul in the right place, you know. I'm not allowed to do that with a hotspot. I'm actually not allowed to do that. But I don't know if you caught any of the shows recently where I've discussed with Richard. I can't do it anymore on an iPhone anyway.
Yeah.
And I really can't get to the bottom of that. I don't understand. For the life of me, I do not understand why I can't do it. Ironically, I can fire up the iPhone hotspot and I can download anything on an Android phone. It's absolutely fine. I can download updates. I can literally download anything. But when it comes to an iOS device, I cannot do it.
But it's obviously done on purpose. It's not a bug. It is.
They're absolutely. But why? I just don't get why they're doing it.
I mean, I think we did actually chat about this last time I was on.
Did we? Good. Yeah. And I told you we'd be repeating.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know whether it is in cahoots with the mobile operators. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, we're quite happy for you to make tethering easy, but just don't automatically be downloading your OS updates at 2 gig. You know, if you think, you know, I don't know.
I mean, I think the ones I download, I download the IPSWs now, which I forget what that stands for. Is it simply iPhone software?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever known.
I think it might be. I thought of that the other day, actually. But they're 7 gig. Just like if you asked a laptop to do it. So I can plug the customer's phone into my work laptop and then I can connect the work laptop to the iPhone and it works perfectly because it doesn't care.
Which laptop would it be?
I've got a random Surface that we use at work. I've just got a random Surface.
But not a Mac?
Not a Mac. So I, whether it would work through a Mac, I don't know. I have got a Mac that I can use daily, but it's a 21.5 inch old Mac. So I can't really take that to the front of the store. And ironically, this 600 to 700 megabits per second that I get at the front of the store is only about 50 at the back of the store. That's if I can get 5G at the back of the store. Quite often, I can only get 4G at the back of the store. But the point is, I am fairly sure that I could. I'm not ever doing this anyway, but I'm fairly sure that if I had a customer's phone and it needed 17.2.1, I'm pretty sure if I took my SIM card out of my phone and went to the front of the store, I think you can now do it on mobile, but you just can't do it through the hotspot. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, I think it does ask you, doesn't it, when you download.
I think you have a choice. If your SIM is actually in the phone, you know, so in theory, the company would probably be better off giving us a SIM, an unlimited data SIM, or even 250 gigs a month or whatever. We wouldn't need any more than that, probably. Well, I don't know. Might do. An unlimited SIM each rather than faffing around with Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
because we could then put that in a SIM just to do the software update first, and then crack on with the other bit. It's got to the point now where some stores no longer offer mobile or any setups.
Because it's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, they've decided. I'm kind of surprised that each store can decide that for themselves. I didn't think that was a thing, but apparently they have. So they've decided to. I think it's more like they can decide how to spend their wage bill. So if they don't want tech support, they only need to have one person to deal with repairs, and then they can spend the money on extra people on the shop floor or extra people in operations or whatever they want to do. So from that point of view, that's what they've decided. But it's all brought about by the fact that the people who were tech support were getting frustrated by the speed of the Wi-Fi.
I mean, what could you do, though? I mean, do you know if it's possible to get really fast internet into that building, if, well, even if they wanted to pay for it. You know, it could just be that the infrastructure's not there.
That is absolutely right. And I'm not 100% sure whether that, you know, whether that is the case. Even our ordinary Wi-Fi or ordinary system isn't particularly fast. So you may be absolutely right. I mean, these are all metal framed buildings for a start. So that doesn't help with the Wi-Fi thing. We do not know how many items are connected to it, because every customer device gets connected to that, and lots of customers are repeat customers. So there could at any one point be several hundred people in the store all connected to that network. They did a little while back, they did a it's the same password, by the way, for that Wi-Fi in every John Lewis. And they did a reset of the password a while back, and that, but that hasn't really done anything in terms of help. And my thought is, could that even make it worse? Because if you had hundreds of people whose device was trying to connect to that, would that affect it just as badly as if they could connect, or would it? Once it couldn't log in, that was it. It won't be on there, will it?
I've got absolutely no expertise in this area, but I can't imagine that that would be a problem.
I just wonder, you know, it's something I need to look into to some extent. But, either way, obviously something's got to be done. Now, the way I've got round it is sort of semi-unofficial, although it's been mentioned in dispatches several times, and each time everyone who talks about it defends it on the basis that I defend it on, and that is I download the IPSWs, and you can see as you download those, can see that they are coming directly from Apple.
Yeah.
So to me, there is zero danger. I still don't know to this day why I can't go directly to Apple and get these. You have to go through a couple of different sites. I go through iClarified, but you can see that they are on an Apple CDN. So at the end of the day, they are perfectly safe. And, you know, management have seen the comments about that, and they've never come out and said, no, you can't do that. And I mean, frankly, without doing that, Ipswich branch this year is number three. We're going to finish probably, our year ends in 2 weeks, and we're going to finish in third out of 34 branches. Two of which aren't doing them anymore, so that's hardly an achievement. But yeah, out of 32 branches, we're going to be top three. So you know, happy with that, obviously. But I wouldn't be able to do those without my little tricks of either a hotspot. And they say we shouldn't use a hotspot because it's not secure. Equally, I've said this before. We have to anyone with a BT internet email, to get that working, we have to drop off our support Wi-Fi and we have to go on to BT Open Zone, which is public, completely open Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And yet they say a hotspot isn't secure. Well, I don't know much about the security on LTE or whatever you want to call it, 5G, but I think it's pretty much secure.
Yeah.
I don't think that can be hacked into. I'm pretty sure it can't.
The iOS software, you know, operating system software is signed as well. So
yeah,
you're not going to be able to...
Absolutely.
Unless you're some sort of nation state, you're not going to be able to hack it and put something nefarious in there anyway. If it installs onto the iPhone, then it's a genuine Apple software.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, every time I do one of those on the laptop, up until a couple of weeks back, I was a bit worried. What if I hit the wrong one accidentally one day? Am I going to brick the device? And the answer is no. It knows that it doesn't work, and it just comes up and says, cannot do it. Go away and try again. And then it doesn't tell you why. It doesn't say this is the wrong software. It just says, nope, can't do that. And then I immediately saw that I'd chosen the 14 Plus instead of the 4. No, it wasn't that, actually. It was an iPad. I'd literally just chosen the wrong one, 9th instead of 10th, I think. And it just refused to load it on. So we know that that can't be done. Of course, the downside to that approach is the minute they come, I dread reading on wherever I completely dread seeing 17.2.2 or something like that, because I have to then with it. I know that I can't just use. I know I could carry on using 17.2.1 for another few weeks because they'll both be signed for a little while, but that wouldn't help me at all, because as soon as I put the IPSW on for 17.2.1. I've still got to update it to the latest. That's part of our deal. That's part of the setup charge, go to the very latest. So the customer doesn't have to do it at least until the next one. And if you've ever done, well, you have, everyone's done an update. The stage of preparing is almost, well, it is up for you guys, not for me on my terrible Wi-Fi, but for you guys, it's longer to prepare than it is to download it. So it can take a good 20 minutes, roughly 20 minutes, I find, in the preparing stage. That's, of course, if you watch it. Obviously, most people don't watch it doing it, but I do because I'm trying to get them done. My aim is to get them done within an hour if I can, and that is tough. The most strange thing this year, as the year has gone on, and I suppose the more I see it, the more I take note of it, is... when you do a transfer, it comes up on the new one and it says, "Oh, you've got about 2 gigabytes of data to download to complete your iCloud restore." And just lately, I've had some huge ones from people that you wouldn't class as particularly techie. I had one the other day that was about 14 gigabytes. Of data, and by, you know, generally by this time that is then operating on our Wi-Fi, so it's not very fast, and typically something like WhatsApp might well be right at the back end of that, so I can't even finish setting the phone up properly. Obviously I know I can go on and press and hold and prioritize download of an individual app, but you know, That can take several hours or an hour or so on its own just to do that.
Yeah.
And by putting the IPSWs on, I reduce the time probably by a good hour generally, because it takes around 20 minutes to do it via the laptop using the file, IPSW file, compared to probably even if I go out the front of the store and I download the update on my Pixel 8 or via the Pixel 8, the preparing stage is still a good 20-30 minutes. So if you do it with the laptop, you don't have a preparing stage or it's built into the whole process sort of thing. But in terms of next easiest, I suppose, to iPhone would be Samsung to Samsung, generally, because that's got a pretty good smart switch, is pretty good, to be fair, and it sort of is getting close to iOS levels of ease. I don't, incidentally, on iOS, I very rarely do the direct transfer route now, from phone to phone, because I find that most of the ones I'm setting up don't work very well if you do the direct transfer, where, you know, where it brings up the little sort of swirly cloud and you take a picture of it. I very rarely do that now, because ultimately that uses iCloud anyway, so I've sort of settled now for basically doing it on doing an iCloud backup on the old device and then downloading to the new one. That generally works well, unless the customer isn't prepared to pay the 99p, in which case I can't always do iCloud
I was going to ask exactly how many times will it fit or not fit on the free iCloud allowance, because I'm still on the free one.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute scandal to me that the free one still exists.
Especially for this use case.
5 gig, you know, just have... There was some talk, and I thought it had changed to the fact that it would always... I think it only changed to the fact that it would always allow updates to happen regardless. But there was something where they said, oh, no, that won't affect it anymore, even if you're on the free level. I tried to keep the free level. I got rid of everything, backed up all the devices to the Mac, and then in the end, I've gone back straight back to the 99p, because I just can't be bothered.
In fact, do I remember that the iPhone to iPhone transfer mechanism uses iCloud but does allow you to use more than the 5 gigs?
I think it does. Yeah, I think that's what it does. I think it might be the one. But
the one exception.
In most cases, I don't use that simply because I would say that about 70%, or no, it's probably higher than that now I think about it. I had an iPhone 11 to iPhone 15 this week, and that's the newest one that I've transferred in ages. And that was only because the lady desperately wanted Face ID back, and she'd unfortunately had a new screen put in by Bobby Backstreet. And and then it just obviously Face ID did not work any longer with it. And actually she was a lovely lady, and she'd also had a cheap battery put in at the same time. So she's got these two big red marks in the settings saying, guarantee this is the right battery. Yeah. Can't guarantee this is the right screen. And she wanted to know while I was transferring to a new iPhone 15, could I possibly get rid of those so she could send it into Music Magpie and get more money for it? And I said, no, I can't. I can't get rid of those. If I could get rid of those, I'd be a rich man probably.
What the screen look like? If I was replacing the screen, I would always get an original and probably get it done by Apple, to be honest.
I'll be honest, it looked okay.
Yeah.
It didn't have Face ID, obviously, but I can't really remember what an iPhone 11 looked like because it was it LCD or was
it was LCD,
wasn't it? So I couldn't really remember what it looked like, but I didn't look at it and think, oh, that's absolute.
Yeah, like all the colours are wrong and it's all washed out or something.
It was fine, you know. And she realised she'd slipped up by doing those two things. But as she said at the time, they wanted, for the 11, Apple wanted something like £350 for a screen.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Which is a new one for that.
Yeah, which is mad. And prior to that, you see, I don't use the auto setup because I find most of my other stuff, I was going to say 70%, but I think it's nearer 90% of them are 6 and 6S. That's what I'm transferring generally, and I'm not transferring generally.
It's just too slow.
Yeah. It fails. It says it's working, and then it goes back to the setup screen and says, oh, yeah, take a picture of this little swirly cloud, and it just goes back to that after about half an hour. So I don't trust it anymore. It just wastes too much of my time.
Okay.
It's supposed to work with anything, I believe, over 12.5. But that I have not found that consistent. And then, as I said, I'm wasting over half an hour where it looks like it's working.
Yeah.
And then it just kicks the new one back to the setup screen. So I've wasted half an hour. So now I just tend to do iCloud backup. I'm also not looking forward to 17.3, which is going to bring device protection along, because that flaw of being able to change the password just by being logged into a device, which is a dreadful flaw, is absolutely lovely for me, because obviously even if the customer's gone away and the password they've given us doesn't work or whatever, I can, with their permission, I can quickly change it. But I won't be able to do that. I won't be able to do it for an hour, apparently.
Is it 24 hours or an hour?
I don't know. An hour. And if it's an hour, it's not enough, is it?
No,
because
it's not. Yeah,
a criminal isn't going to care. A criminal can wait an hour easily. No one's going to do anything within an hour of losing it, probably.
But so you need biometrics as well, don't you? So you need biometrics and to wait an hour.
I don't know if you need both. I thought it was if you didn't have biometrics. So that really will be a problem when that kicks in, because you know, the people are going to go away. Someone on the shop floor is going to go, yeah, lovely, I've got all your details. And then I'm going to need to change the password. And I'm going to have to say, yeah, you're going to have to come back now before I can do it.
I guess the parameters might not be totally set yet. But
no.
Obviously, I think it should be biometrics and an hour.
Oh, me too. Me too. I mean,
it's so obvious when you think about it in retrospect, isn't it? It's like you can when the scandal
absolutely
broke, you kind of go, yeah, I kind of get why you need it, and it's a bit unfortunate, but it's just kind of, you know, price of doing business is a bit, you know, price of having a phone. And then you think, when they've sort of said, right, these are the steps we're going to take, you think, yeah, those are really logical steps that you should have had in the first place.
You really should have had that in place. We are going to have to move. Now, there's one thing that I'm not sure about yet, but it does not appear that it's going to be on by default.
I'd be surprised if it's not.
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
Because if not, there's virtually no point in doing it. Without being remotely rude to John Lewis customers, virtually zero of them would go in and switch that on.
The only people that would do it are the tech, what do you want to call us? Nerds.
Yep.
Mobile phone nerds, you know,
absolutely.
Literally 0.5% of the population. Whereas
absolutely.
The problem that with this problem is that it hits 99% of the normals. Those are the people that need the biggest protection.
Exactly. It hits the people, Although a lot of the... I don't know if you saw that thing that Joanna Stern did where she interviewed a crim who had been doing this.
I heard she did done this, but I didn't watch it. Yeah,
it was quite eye-opening because that person was specifically saying... Because I think Joanna Stern said something like, it's all the old people, and it's like, no, it's the youngsters in a bar.
Yeah.
And they're pissed, basically.
Yeah.
They're just
drunk,
so they don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
In fact, he said on many occasions, I just asked them for their PIN code, and amazingly, they gave it to me.
Yeah,
you know, they told me what it was.
I reckon if you grabbed someone's phone and said, oh, just give us your password.
Yeah.
A good proportion of them...
Yeah,
just how it is. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I've had lots of situations where the person on the shop floor has filled all the forms in, bought the thing out to me. When we started in the job, me and Niamh, we said, look, we'll go out and we'll do the forms, because we were getting too many without the right information, passwords hadn't been checked, that sort of thing. And obviously now I'm down to one. I can't generally do that because I'm too busy. And you would they would come out the back and they're like, oh, they haven't even got the PIN number to get me into this, but because I've got the date of birth, I can get most of them.
Yeah.
As long as I've got two or three guesses, it'll either be the year. It's nearly always the year of birth, frankly. But it'll be some combination of that.
Yeah.
If it's a six digit, it'll be, 22, 10, 46, whatever. That's what it'll be. And people don't, they just don't put anything in that would be secure. But I think it has to be, as you say, it has to be default. And then I think what we're going to have to do, because... When we fill the form in, we fill it in on a specific computer, and that computer, 9 times out of 10, will not allow us to go to the Apple login. What they're supposed to do is they're supposed to go to Apple and put in, log in on our computer, exactly what the customer's just given us as the password. In other words, no disrespect, Mr. Customer, but I'm just going to go in and log in on your account. I'll show you what I'm doing. We won't read any of your stuff. As soon as we can see it logging in, we'll hang up. But of course they don't do that. And they can't do that sometimes. Occasionally, if you pull up an incognito, you can do it. And then they're supposed to do the same with the Gmail account or the Hotmail account, and sort that out. I've been a bit too lax on that, so I've sort of let them get away with it to some degree. So we're going to have to go back, we're going to have to find a way of being able to access that for a start. So I probably need to talk to our companies, because I think our companies are basically blocking Apple.com or whatever. Maybe because they don't want people sitting there on Apple.com all day. I don't know.
Nah, can't be that.
That then has a knock-on effect. So I would say probably I nearly always have to switch to Edge from Chrome. We use Chrome for everything. I normally have to switch to Edge to be able to get onto the Apple ID to put that in and try it, basically. And then sometimes I have to do a private window in Edge to get it to do it. Sometimes Chrome will do it in incognito. But then the next problem is our machine, we use Gmail for everything within the company. So when we try to log into Gmail for a customer, it just literally logs us into our one. So it's not the ideal scenario, but we are going to have to, while the customer's there, if we are unable to test their Apple ID, we are going to have to change it. with them there. We are literally going to have to change it while they're still in the store.
Yeah, it's you might, you know, the thing where if you get your send your iPhone into Apple, you've got to turn off Find My.
Yeah.
I guess you probably have to have a thing that says when you're bringing it in, make sure you turn this feature off. But the problem
I think that's probably the only other way, actually.
And say, give them 48 hours notice to say, okay, you know, turn it off and be aware that it will take 24 hours to do it.
Does it take that long? Do we know for sure?
That's the other thing is, I think what they're saying is when it's in the home, that it won't have that timer on. So when it's in a trusted location.
Okay.
It won't have that. As I say, I'm not 100% sure of the finalised parameters.
There might be ways around it, but if it turns out they're not going to default it to on, then it won't matter because none of our customers will have it on.
But if it is, they'll turn it off to bring it in and then they won't turn it back on again.
I guess we can do that for them.
And
I would be very tempted to insist that we add this to our service.
That we
do put it on.
If it was defaulted off,
If it was defaulted off, we would turn it on, I think, because that would protect people against something they don't even know about, essentially. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the outcome of that is. Apparently coming in 17.3, which can't be that far away now, I would have thought, because I can't remember now, but it doesn't often get too high, does it, on this thing, on the dot twos before it goes to dot three. So it can't be that far. It must be already available in beta versions, I guess.
Yeah,
which I'm not running at the moment.
I never do that personally, but yeah.
No, I did do it for a little while when they first brought it out, I think from public again, but not so much developer side. The other thing I've been testing out is I went down that path again of I'll get rid of the iPhone. I can't justify having an iPhone and a Pixel. I can't sell the Pixel 8 because people are giving them away. There was a 256 popped up on MeWe for about 450 or something.
Is that Absolutely. Pro or non-pro?
No, non-pro.
Okay.
Non-pro. I think it was a 256. I mean, they're still 699 officially, but I mean, it doesn't seem
550 at the moment, though, isn't it? In reality,
is it? Is it? Yeah. I was going to say, realistically, it's not anywhere near that. So, I'm not disappointed to keep it because I really do enjoy it, and I was thinking about Ted has popped up a thing on MeWe saying he'd like to update his Pixel 6. I think he's got to a 7 or an 8. And I've just popped up. I don't know whether I've done it in time, but I've just popped up and said it'd be 8 all day long for me. I don't think 6 to 7 is not worth it, I don't think.
I mean, I hated the 6. I tolerated the 7. I did think the 7 was better than the 6.
Mm.
But you'd have to go 8.
Yeah, the 8's a game changer for me, I think.
The non-pros. The pros, I still like the 7 Pro, but
absolutely. For the non-pros, I think the improved screen, the better processor, but more importantly for me, the face. I'm going to call it Face ID, really, because it for all intents and purposes, it's the same as Face ID on the iPhone. I don't see any difference at all. By the time I'm hovering my finger over the fingerprint thing, it goes, Face ID confirmed. Or face unlock confirmed, or whatever they call it. But it is, it's, you know, whilst it doesn't use the same tech as Face ID, it's functionally identical to me in every way, and does make the Pixel. The aforementioned Wi-Fi issue has actually led me to use the Pixel way, way more. The Pixel has now got my main SIM in it, effectively, in the iPhone. I mean, it's kind of ironic, really. In the iPhone, I've got a £1.90 per month Libara SIM back in residence for the first 6 months type of deal. And I think that number now, actually, my secondary number, which is on a lot of my bank accounts and things, is must have had more number changes. I don't know if they can track these things, but I reckon it's been transferred at least 6 times in the last 3 months between different networks. But yeah, so yeah, I've ended up with the iPhone feels like a luxury now. You know, in comparison to how much I use it at work, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone the opposite way to me and Rich. Me and Rich are now the opposite. He was very much iPhone when I'm working, and then for fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say his Android phone, but obviously it's more like every Android phone.
Yeah, the Android phones.
The Android phones, basically, yeah. It's, you know, it's the other way around for me now. When I'm at work, it's the Pixel that gets all the action. But whenever I think I'm going to get rid of the iPhone, where the iPhone comes into it at work is I still help on the shop floor sometimes when they're tight for space. If I'm not busy with setups and things, I will still go out and help. And I had quite a long session on there. It is just fabulously helpful to be able to whip out the latest iPhone, show them the new socket on it and go, oh, look, if you buy one of these, you've got to be careful. Show them the fact that the Pro, this is the Pro. Look, it's very similar to the 15, et cetera, et cetera. You know, having one and having both blows a few people's minds, but it really sets you up for like, oh, this guy's pretty serious about this. You know, I'm going to listen to what he's saying type of thing. So, and also when people bring things in faulty, it's very handy to have both in your pocket. So
I think as your sales position, well, occasional sales position, I guess, having the latest iPhone, the latest Pixel is really, really useful because you've got the double benefit of both having both ecosystems and having the latest one that's the one that you're going to be wanting to sell. But I think generally, if you're sort of half, and you know, you've probably heard this a million times, but if you've, you know, unless you're hard up, if you're in the tech sphere, then I think it's completely reasonable to have a reasonably new iPhone, one in the last 2 or 3 years, and a reasonably new flagship Android of the last 2 or 3 years running at the same time. You know,
I think that's
reasonable. You know, okay,
I think so.
You hit hard times and you know, you want a quick few hundred quid because it's not going to be several hundred quid. You know, you can sell one of them.
Yeah,
but as you say, I mean, even when you're selling an iPhone, I know that they hold their value more, but you're still going to lose because they start so high, you're still going to lose a few hundred quid, you know.
Yeah, I mean, even iPhones now, I don't know if you've noticed, but on MeWe lately, iPhones are not selling particularly, even when they've got 300 or 400 quid off retail.
Yeah.
And that was not usually the case. There was one on there that's gradually got cheaper. There was a, I'm just trying to have a quick look now, it was a Pro Max, I think, and it's now down to, I think sometimes though with iPhones, it's partly because people buy these massive storage ones and generally people people don't care, do they?
You're certainly not going to get your money back. I mean, obviously you'd always want, you'd want as big a storage as possible. You know, there's no reason to have less storage, but you're not going to necessarily pay anything extra for it.
Oh, it's just sold, actually. The chap put it on a weekend only sale of £1,000. It was £1,150. I can't see. A little favour, chaps and chapesses of MeWe, if you could in future, it would just be very helpful. It doesn't really matter, but it'd be quite helpful if you... he has left it on there. I apologise to this one. And most people, once they put sold on, they overwrite the price.
Yeah, that's annoying.
I kind of like to know what they sold for. It'd be really nice to know what they sold for. You don't have to post that. And obviously, I think most people don't know. A lot of people don't know. I'm the mod on there, but I only control the any inappropriate comments will get deleted. But I'll also delete the adverts. But you guys can delete your own adverts once they're sold. You can delete them.
The mods, you know, in brackets, do tend to delete them pretty quickly because I think people want to provide a little bit of after sales service by keeping it up there so that they're not trying to, you know, oh, I've sold it now, I'm going to delete it and then scam this guy by forgetting about it, you know.
Yeah, that's why we, I mean, there's me and Ted is the official one. Steve is no longer a mod. And I'm a mod on the basis that I just do that sort of thing. I don't get involved. Nobody gets involved in disputes, but, you know, I don't get involved literally in any of that. I'm not even one of the ones you can email to get in, even though Steve said I was one day. But I don't have the time really to do that. In a proper forum, because MeWe isn't really a proper forum backed thing, in a proper forum backed thing, you would ideally have a finished deals folder.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would put them in the finished deals and they would stay there forever and a day. And MeWe does not offer that facility. So that is why we say that seller and buyer, certainly the buyer, should be immediately taking a picture of that, a screenshot of that, before they even get involved in making an offer or doing a deal. But certainly, we delete them after 4 days. If they're marked with sold.
Yeah,
if they're
yeah.
not marked with sold, then I am such a sad git, I will go through all the comments. And if I can see from that they're sold, then they will get deleted as long as 4 days have gone by. This was a 15 Pro Max, 1 terabyte. That's just been sold for £1,000.
But what's the actual... See, I would compare that not with the 1 terabyte model, but what's
Me
the
neither.
Base?
I would go with Pro a. Max. So the base is $1,199 or $1,099? $1,099, I'd say.
So I'd see that just 11, as £100
or $1,149.
Is it? Let's have a little
struggling
look.
Now. Struggling with that. I've lost a little bit of track now. I'm not on the shop floor.
It's $11.99.
It's $11.99. Okay, so that's £200 off one of those.
Yeah.
But that's always been the luck of the draw, because if someone happens to be, if your name was Ted, you would value that. You would value that terabyte of stuff hugely. But I wouldn't. Like, you wouldn't.
£1,600 the 1 terabyte.
Yeah, I can't remember why I went for 256 this time, because I've been with 128 for the last couple of iPhones. On the Max, it's the minimum, yeah. I think actually it was just I wanted one quickly. I went up to Apple in Norwich to get it, and I don't think they had the 128 available on that particular. It was the day after, it was my weekend off after the launch, and I wanted it. John Lewis didn't have any at all for the first week. So I took a ride up to Norwich to pick it up.
My rule of thumb is, with any Apple product, get the base spec, because we know how much of a rip-off their storage and RAM is.
God,
that if you want to get the best bang for your buck, you're going to have to go for the base spec.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, that means... I think that there's benefit in getting the base MacBook Pro versus the Air, because that has a better baseline spec. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to get more bang for your buck that way.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's the same with the iPhones. If you can stomach, I mean, the 128, I know, I get some people think that's not quite enough, and I agree it's not quite enough, but, you know, as long as you've got half an eye on it, you can manage it totally fine.
Well, I've got the 256 and I've got 175 available. So, you know, 128 would be absolutely plenty for me.
Let me see mine.
I don't know. You know, these days I've got very, very little on the device. Everything is... I'm just trying to think what I have on the device. I don't really have anything on there. I don't pack it with anything, because I... can stream everything.
So I've used 86.
Yeah, so I guess you'd only have about 25, 30 left on a 128.
Which is fine, and there's plenty of stuff on here that I could take off.
Yeah, which is still a hell of a lot when you consider it, isn't it? It's like I was saying with the customer's stuff. When I see, there was one the other day with a lady, and almost universally the people... I always say to people, they always say, how long will it take? Because a lot of people still think it takes 10 minutes to transfer an iPhone. And you have to explain that. Because in previous things, where they've had their phone set up, it's basically what that's meant is they have been signed into their Apple account and the SIM swapped by somebody in Vodafone or O2. And that's what they think is a setup, which I suppose to some extent you know, is to some degree, because none of those stores, for example, are going to include updating it to the latest software. And also, we guarantee a minimum of 15 minutes tuition on the new device. And that is very rarely only 15 minutes. I'm quite happy. If I'm not rushed off my feet, I will quite happily spend a half an hour or longer if it takes it. You know, because John Lewis is all about customer service. And that goes down very well with people. And a lot of people buy this service for 30 quid, you know, and that features very heavily in that purchase decision, the fact that they can get someone to show them, because most of the people I'm setting up new iPhones for have a fingerprint scanner and a physical button or a non-physical button, and they, you know, straight away they're like, well, how on earth do I work it without a button and stuff like that. But I would say that probably 98% of my customers do not know about Spotlight Search on an iPhone. Genuinely, they do not know that it exists. I've just recently, it's one of the things I always show people after the setup, and they're like, oh, what's that? It's like, well, it's a quick search, and they're blown away by it. But just lately, I've found something else they're blown away by. And again, I reckon 80% don't know about it. And that is getting to the camera with a swipe from a lock screen.
They
just don't know it's there. I showed this lady the other day, and she's like, you would not believe the number of photos I've missed because it takes me about a minute to find the camera. She didn't even have the camera icon on her first page. It was hidden on the third page.
Right.
And then another lady said, I don't know where it is. My daughter-in-law has organised it for me, and her daughter-in-law had popped it into a little folder that was totally nondescript and had a whole load of apps in. And I said, look, for you, you've only used about 6 apps. We need to ditch this system, but I don't want to upset your daughter-in-law. Oh, no, go ahead and do it. I want all of them on the front page. I saw another lady a couple of weeks ago that only had one thing at the bottom. The bottom four was just the phone symbol.
Oh, God.
And I said, what do you particularly want this? Like this, and oh no, I can't remember. My son set this up and thought it was simpler if it just had the phone symbol.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how many phone calls do you make a week? I never make phone calls. They call me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a look. What do you use? Well, I use WhatsApp all the time. Let's put that on there. You know, and we do all of that as in with the cost of the setup sort of thing.
Yeah.
So people absolutely love that. It's quite. I love doing it, and actually, when I was talking earlier about like some stores have cut the tech support role down to just dealing with repairs, and I've sort of made it pretty clear that I wouldn't be long term in the job if we suddenly did the same. But I'm assured that that is not on the cards. So hopefully that will never be the case. But I can't think of anything more depressing than just booking in repairs all day. Every day, and then you know that is not a fun part of the job ultimately. What is
not everyone can have a fun job, Kev.
Some people have jobs have to slog away, don't they, you know? And get paid about 80 grand a year for it. I understand that.
I'm not sure you'd get that for checking in repairs, but
maybe not. I mean, I don't mind, actually. I mean, because it's a nice mix, you know, but I don't mind because a lot of the repairs we before I took the job on with the lady, with Neve, it was really book everything in, send everything away. But we try to fix it now, and we do fix a huge amount of so-called issues.
Because
they're not issues at all. It's just, you know, quite often solved by a volume up, volume down, hold the power button kind of deal, and you're back
that's
in business.
And
people look at you like, whoa, okay. You know, that. What have you done? Oh, God, you're a genius. Well,
yeah
I am, but not for the reasons you think, you know.
It's interesting, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff on iPhone that's completely undiscoverable. You know, how are you supposed to know about the volume up, volume down, power? I remember being in a pub and showing people Force Touch,
yeah,
and there was about seven people there with iPhones that had it, supporting it, and none of them knew about it. And it's like, yeah, Apple, even though Apple's one of the better design people in the world, there's a lot of stuff on there that is not very discoverable and is quite fiddly to sort of get your head around. But yeah.
Like I said, I've never really read an article or seen many articles. A lot of them say force restart it, but they don't actually tell you how to. How to do it, sort of thing. But, you know, everyone listening to this probably knows exactly how to do it, or if not, they would know how to Google it to find out how
exactly,
to do it,
more importantly.
The other thing that I've been playing with when I was in my phase of, oh, yes, I must sell the iPhone, put some money back in my bank, and I'll still be happy. I would have a 12 mini to fall back on if I did that, by the way.
Because
we've got Jackie's old 12 mini sitting here, and I play with that some. If it was a 13 mini, I'd be incredibly tempted to give it a go. The 12 mini is a 13 mini in many respects when you're sitting next to about 12 power sockets.
It really doesn't matter
that much, to be quite honest. You know, and it's 5G, and it's got MagSafe and all that sort of thing. So the power aspect of it, which is dire, is not a huge issue. But then I just think when a customer asks me about an iPhone, it's not as impressive to pull that out. But as you say, it's all about money at the end of the day. If you don't desperately need it, which I kind of don't. Then I'm so reluctant to sell the Pixel in many ways because, A, I know then it will be the old chestnut. I'll be looking for a cheap Android. This cheap Android this time would have to do 5G because I need that. So they would have to do that. I'm pretty sure it won't do everything as well as the Pixel does it. And as clean as the Pixel is. So to that end, when I was still in this let's replace the iPhone mode, I wanted to try the Pixel Watch again. And Mark in our group was very, very kind, as we know he is, to just send me that over. It took him 2 minutes of my request in our back channel to borrow a Pixel Watch 2, specifically the 2. And it took him literally 2 minutes to offer it to me. Amazing. I couldn't believe it. Amazing.
Which of his various colours, straps,
He did offer me a choice of all the colours and all the straps. I just went with the base model, really.
Send me
what you've got, mate. I said, you know, I don't want to be... First one you lay your hands on out of the many hundreds that you've probably got. But we love Mark. He's got every... I tell people at work that he'll have three... Has he got a... I tell them about, you know, people in the group, and they'll go, he buys quite a lot. And they'll go, he must have a Pixel Fold. I said, he's probably got three Pixel Folds. So yeah, he's the only guy I know that's got more phones than someone else we know that isn't here today. But thanks, Mark, really appreciate it. I will get it back to you. I'll probably nip out tomorrow and post that, if that's all right. Thanks ever so much for the loan. I thought, oh, this is going to lead me to saying, can I buy it? But I can't get on with it. Two reasons. One, it's left a really nasty... Well, it's gone now, but it's left a nasty red mark on my arm.
Okay.
So I didn't wear watches for ages and ages. And when I first started wearing an Apple Watch, I'm just going to take the Apple Watch off for a sec. At first, that done the same. It gave me like a little red thing. And then I don't know if you remember, I bought a... What did I buy? I bought a... Was it a Fitbit or something I tried? I don't think it was a Fitbit, but I tried another watch. It wasn't an Apple Watch, and it wasn't a... No, it must have been some sort of Android watch, and that irritated the hell out of the top of my wrist.
With the rubbery silicon straps, yeah?
No. Well, actually, with the... This is actually the little circle that, you know, leaves imprinted on your wrist. So it's being caused by the... heart rate sensor, rather than
you could replace.
What I noticed about the Pixel Watch 2 is that it seems to flash that green light
Yeah.
Way, way, way more than the Apple Watch does. Now, I don't know if that's so it makes it much more accurate than the Apple Watch or anything else. I haven't had the inclination to even try that, but it definitely keeps that on a lot longer. And I definitely had that with another non-Apple Watch. I got a feeling it was a Fitbit or something similar to something like a band rather than an all-out watch, and I simply couldn't wear it. So I had to kind of give the Pixel Watch up. I sort of tried it on the other wrist, and it started to do the same to that one. So I kind of gave up on that a few days ago. I did keep trying to persevere with it, but even while I had it, there is something different about the Apple Watch. It just more useful in terms of being able to run almost everything. Whereas, so for example, Authy for my second factor is on the Apple Watch. It's not on the not on Wear OS. They haven't got an app. In fact, to use authentication on the Wear OS, you have to go with a not well known one and redo all your authentications again, which is a little bit of a pain, let's be honest. So that was kind of one thing. Then we use this authentication thing at work called Ping ID whenever we sign into various things, mostly when we're not at work. Mostly when we're at work, it doesn't need it. But that comes up I probably get that pop up at least twice a day. And again, if my iPhone is out of reach or switched off or the screen's blank, it defaults to the watch and I can just tap the watch to approve and you're in. I get the Guardian thing pop up with like enough of the story to think, do I need to get my phone out and have a little look at it? That didn't appear to work properly on the Pixel Watch, although I think there was a facility to get it, but it didn't look as clear on the watch. Having said that, on the plus side, I much prefer a round watch. I think watches should be round. I don't think they should be square.
Okay, that's interesting.
Personally, I've got a round watch face, but I think the whole watch looks better being round. But it's a little bit thicker than the Apple Watch as well, so I don't know if that played a part in this mark on my wrist, because actually what is interesting is I took all watches off. I wore the Apple Watch on the wrong hand or wrong arm for a few days to sort of put some cream on this and get rid of it, which I completed a couple of days ago. And I'm a little worried now because just wearing the Apple Watch has brought the red mark back and some discomfort sort of thing, just very mild itchiness on it. So I don't know now whether I've triggered something and now the Apple Watch is gonna cause it, because I really would be disappointed if I had to stop wearing the Apple Watch.
I think you just need to give it a little while.
Yeah, I think probably
recover.
I'll just wear it on the right wrist for a week or two, I think, and just let the other one recover completely. Because I've had it for years, you know, I've had the Apple Watch on that wrist for years now with no issue. So I think the Pixel Watch has done something to it. It does make me wonder in the future, they're all, you know, Apple and others are all working on blood glucose monitoring.
Yeah.
And everything I've read is if you're not going to do invasive, which they can't really, you can't have a needle on the other side of a watch to put into people's wrist. So they can't do invasive. So they're going to do some form of light going through it. It just makes me wonder if that, as they get stronger and stronger to produce the results they need, is that going to irritate people more?
I can't imagine it was the light that did it. It must be the glass, but you know, something on the
maybe.
Glass or the metal or the...
Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to have to look into it a bit more, but certainly, you know, whatever it was there and it was raw red at one point. I mean, it got to the point where I thought, God, this is now starting to hurt quite a bit, to the extent that I need a little bit of germaline cream on it just to settle it down sort of thing and not be constantly in my mind. It was quite odd. But I know other people that have suffered with this, and I've met quite a few customers that would love a watch and they've tried one and they can't. We've even had people try and return Fitbits and watches because it's left a mark on their wrist.
So now that you've applied an exotic skin disease to Mark's watch, you're sending it back tomorrow, yeah?
I'm sending it back tomorrow, yes, yes. Okay, I'm going to suggest, no, I've obviously cleaned it all with alcohol and stuff. Hopefully I haven't transferred anything to him. if I have, then obviously we'll buy it off him, but I don't know. As you say, it can't be that, can it?
No.
There is no broken skin, Mark, honestly. Promise. So I think obviously in the tradition of the show, I haven't let you get a word in edgeways.
I think that's fine. I think that's fine. Yay. I haven't, I don't think I've got anything exciting recently.
Well, I'm not sure any of the last hour has been particularly exciting, but it's, you've been a great sounding board, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah. A rubber duck, very as helpful. We call it in the
very
industry.
Very helpful. And we have managed, that's actually over an hour already. That's kind of crazy, really. I'm just trying to think. There was one other thing. Oh, yeah, I mean, this really shouldn't be a political subject anyway, but I am three-fourths of the way through the post office drama thing on ITV.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was literally angry, almost to the state of tears yesterday.
Yeah,
watching it, I in the back of my head, I was vaguely aware of this.
I think
I was vaguely aware of the Computer Weekly article all those years ago, but it was all hidden at the back of my memory banks. I can't think of a subject, if we exclude Brexit, that I've been so angry about ever.
Do I need to see it? Because I don't want to just get upset if there's no payoff.
I need to see it because until I watched it, most of it I watched yesterday, until I saw it, I was just like, oh, yeah, poor buggers. You know, they had a little bit of a nightmare there. But that was a guy killed himself, which I was not actually aware of. Mm. And there's obviously more to come. But the most amazing thing is if you'd asked me Friday, what is your view of the Post Office Limited? My brother used to work for them and told a few little stories that I thought, that doesn't sound friendly and cuddly.
Yeah.
But if you'd have asked me Friday what I thought of them, I'd go, whatever, you know, nothing much now. And I don't know. I'm waiting for the last part. I'm about 10 minutes of the third one left. And then the last one, and obviously it's ongoing in the news every day. It's almost like there's extra episodes every day now in the Guardian or the newspaper, you know, on the news, which is good, I suppose. But if you ask me now what I think of the post office, I think they truly were. I don't know if they still are, but they were truly evil. I mean, this was as close as you can get to being evil. And more than one person needs to end up in prison for this, and it ain't the postmasters and mistresses. I find it staggering, really. This goes back, you know, to it's not particularly just political in the respect that it goes back to the fact that even Tony Blair knew the system was shit before it even got launched.
Yeah.
But then if you look back as a computer person yourself, you'll know that whenever you put a system in place, somebody somewhere will call it shit.
But also there's bugs in every software. You know?
Yeah. I suppose the most shocking thing for me was the fact that a union rep effectively went to Fujitsu and was told that, I'm in a particular postmaster's account now and I'm changing all his figures. And then they tried to say he wasn't there. You know, you don't know this because you haven't watched it. But that's one example that this guy that was a postmaster went to Fujitsu for so-called training. They're in Bracknell, I believe. I think they're in Bracknell.
Yeah,
he went there for training one day, And while he was there, he was taken into a room where lots of operators were doing things. He didn't know what they were doing. And the guy that's doing the training he'd had problems with his foreign exchange being reconciled correctly. So the guy is showing him how you can manually change the figures on the system. And the guy, he said to the training guy, who was apparently quite high up in the Fujitsu situation. Obviously, we don't know how much of this is fictionalized, but I don't think this scene would be, because it would be outrageous to be made up. So yeah. I don't think anyone's suggesting it was made up. So the guy is showing him this, and he asked a question. I forget now how the scene went, but he asked a question along the lines of, so this is like a training system. And it's like, oh, no, I'm actually in a postmaster's thing now. It's this branch in XYZ place. Right. And the guy is like, hang on, you're changing that guy's figures. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to change them straight back, so no harm done. And then the guy is sat there, and then he slowly looks around the room where there's at least 10 other people in the room doing similar things. And all along, everyone had been told that nobody can remotely access that system. Now, you know full well there's probably not a system, well, outside of military, there's probably not a system in the world where you cannot, you know, the owner of it, the company that do it and write the software, cannot access it via a back door. Whether they should be able to access another person's system, that would suggest to me that that's a Computer Misuse Act violation.
Yeah, yeah. These days there's software that sits on the system and tells you exactly who is doing what. Yeah. You know, so if someone does go and fiddle, there will at least be a record of that fiddling.
Yeah. But none of these postmasters or postmistresses virtually knew anything about any computer system. So they would, you know, they would never know these things. But then a little bit later on in the thing, the guy then gives that evidence to various people. And then Fujitsu have then told an MP, no, that guy was not here that day. No, we've got no record of his visit at all. And luckily it was 4 years after he'd done it. And then he provided an email from Fujitsu to him, copied into several senior managers, to say, we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow at 10:40 a.m. Nobody's been prosecuted for it, other than the people, ironically, that didn't do anything. Unbelievable. And then, honestly, if it doesn't upset you, then it's, you know, it's not done its job, really. Because obviously it's designed to. And you know, more action has come from this in the last couple of weeks than the last 13 years of government. So
it's a bit of a shocker that it takes I know everyone is saying this, but it is a bit of a shocker that it takes an ITV drama to actually move the needle to get stuff done. I mean, are ITV supposed to sort of schedule a monthly drama to sort of right the wrongs of the country? You know, it's crazy.
Well, I'm more amazed by the fact that I've found something on ITV to watch.
Right. Okay.
But, you know, these days, well, apparently the other interesting thing about this is the BBC would not make this now because they're scared. They're so scared of being called left wing or whatever. Because it ultimately criticises quite a few sort of Tories, obviously, because they've been in charge for most of this. Apparently, and of course, don't forget,
well, it was ITV that had to break Partygate, wasn't it? So
yeah, that's true. I think we know the BBC is compromised now, I think, effectively. I just don't understand how something can go on like this with nobody getting it. It just beggars belief, really. That, I mean, not only did nobody get prosecuted yet, at least, but the actual CEO of the Post Office Limited at the time got a peerage in 2019, and she even though she's now handed it back because of the outcry, it's it beggars belief, honestly, it really does. But no, I would highly, highly recommend watching it. Actually, while I've got you on the show, I don't know. Do you care if people know where you work, or do they all know already? No. I don't know.
I think
I rejoined Now Broadband yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
I've been with them for 2 or 3 years. I used to typically change once a year to get some cash back from Quidco and Top Cash back. Stopped doing that really a couple of years ago because the Now system worked really well. No real need to do it. It was originally 20 quid a month, went up last year to 23.50. Live with that. Get an email a couple of days ago. Oh, by the way, on the 9th of the 2nd, it will be going back to 46.50, which is kind of news to me because it's never been 46.50, but it will go back to 46.50. If you call us with this number, with this reference number, you can have it for 25.50. Which beggars the question, just put me on the 25.50, please, guys.
Yeah,
I don't really need you to, you know, if I've got a choice between 46.50 and 25.50 for the identical product, I'm probably going to take the 25.50. Go with that. We can always correct it later if I'm an absolute idiot and want to pay you 46.50. But no, you have to phone up. No idea why, but
is that a different contract length?
Another 12 months where obviously I was on rolling month to month by then. I was out of contract, of course.
So that's the main reason of the difference then?
I guess so. But I mean, there could have been a simple box to click and go, yeah, I'll take that one, please. But no, you got to phone up. So you phone up, sort of a 7-8 minute wait on the line. Very pleasant Indian gentleman went through it all with me. Had to say yes about 20 times more than I needed to say yes, but we'll live with that. There's no problem. And he then sends me through a little email that says, let's link this to your account. So I thought, okay, why couldn't you just do this in the background? Why do I need to do it? I'm already with you. But apparently I left them yesterday and rejoined on a totally new contract. So God only knows why I had to do that. And now I can't register the account at all with them. Now, I appreciate you don't work for Now TV.
Well, I do, but I don't work for that bit.
Yeah. So I just don't understand how systems can end up like this. I've now essentially got a blank account that looks like I don't have any broadband, and I'm sort of keep looking at my little radar picture to see whether it's gone off yet, because I'm now half expecting this thing to be cut off. They tell me it's absolutely fine, that end, and they also tell me that it'll rectify itself probably overnight. Well, it doesn't. Nothing. Whenever they say that, it never does. And then when I go on the Now community forums, which I do have to laugh a little bit that they think like having a community forum is as good as having a proper helpline. And I find that this issue has been going on for people since 2014. And there are lots of cases of it in 2022 and 2023. Exactly the same, renewing, always when you renew. And you can't then log on. Ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter to me that much as long as nothing ever goes wrong, but I can't see what's going on the account. So I've put a complaint in that says they'll get back to me within 24 hours, which they have failed to do, but I'm assuming that probably is only during the working week.
Probably working hours, yeah.
I guess. But I don't know. I just wondered if you could go in and in the back end and just tweak something with my name. Or
Fujitsu style. Yeah, I'll absolutely. I'll go in there and fiddle around for you. No,
yeah, if you could do that, that would be absolutely brilliant. I would like to see the account. I mean, I've got the emails and everything, but it basically fails. It tells you just to put in your account number. The other weird thing about Now TV broadband is after I sign up for broadband, I don't have any TV products of any description, by the way. All they send you is start watching now, start streaming now. Well, I haven't signed up for Now TV, chaps. Yeah. I've actually not signed up for that. Why are you sending me stuff like that? Now TV, you're good to go. You've set your password. Sit back and enjoy your favourite movies, shows or sports.
Well, I suppose the idea...
I mean, I will enjoy that, but not through them, unfortunately.
But I suppose that the idea is that you're a customer that at any point you can start using whatever products you want.
I guess
you're sort of in a good position to do so.
I guess so. And I mean, I can actually go onto my account now and I can buy broadband quite openly because it thinks I haven't got any. I don't know what would happen if I tried to buy broadband because I already have it. Not going to. And yeah, you're right. I can start any of the TV subscriptions, you know, that I don't want to. But I don't know. I suppose it just strikes me that it's all unnecessary. I mean, it's tied that chap up for about 20 minutes.
Well, did he try and sell you some other stuff? Because that's presumably the only good... reason to get you to call in is so they can put a little bit of a
spiel
on you.
And normally, and that's what I was fully expecting and dreading to some extent, although I can deal with it pretty easily. But when I phoned in, the offer was $25.50, and I had a special basket code to give to him. Before I could give him that code or even really talk, he said, "Let me see what I can do for you," and he offered me £24.
Yeah, yeah.
So literally, he cost his own company £1.50 a month, and you paid
him a small favour.
And you paid him to do that. So you know, if that was the plan, then it's a little bit of a failed plan. Just a little bit. It's fallen on its face really, because he's actually discounted it more than I was expecting, which is lovely. You know, I've got no issue with that. The other thing I was a little bit shocked to see is that all the broadband companies now do this absolutely should be illegal, really.
The CPI thing.
CPI plus 3.9.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, none of them have even got the good grace to go, we'll do CPI plus 2% or 2.5. They all go to the absolute limit that the law allows them to go to.
If you're going to do anything, it should just be CPI plus zero.
It should just be CPI. That's it, because otherwise it's a bit like me saying, right, next year I definitely want a raise of CPI plus 3.9%, please.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I want, because I want to increase my thing. But, yeah, I'll try that. I'll try that when I go back in tomorrow, see what happens. I'm not going in tomorrow, I'm going in Tuesday. So I'll try that and see if that works. I'm guessing it won't, but I am really surprised they're doing that, especially now Ofcom have decided that they're going to move with their customary speed. Which is something like the decision is in spring, and then these companies, these poor little companies, will have 5 months to implement it. So in other words, we know they're ripping you off, general public. But we're so toothless, we're going to let them do it for another year probably before there's any relief of that. So, yeah, call me cynical.
No, I think it's right to be cynical about these mid-contract price raises. It's not great.
I mean, it just doesn't really happen. I suppose it happens to people renting. I suppose.
But it doesn't happen automatically. It happens.
It happens through a conversation.
Exactly. When that person decides it, and they'll kind of call you up. And I don't know whether you've got some degree of negotiation or not.
You probably have, because they'd have to find new tenants otherwise. Yeah, and they wouldn't want to. Yeah. So, yeah, they would. But, you know, these companies don't really care at the end of the day, do they, if you ditch them, sort of thing. But, you know, having said that, it's, you know, people are still signing up for them. I've actually convinced two people this week to sign up for a new iPhone with ID Mobile, because you can now a 14 for about £30 a month for a 14 with unlimited data.
Sounds pretty good. What's 29, that, 10-year
I think 29 for 2 years.
2 years.
2 years, subject to CPI, of course, and 39 up front, I think, which is kind of crazy for a 14-1-2-8, obviously not any more than that. I think there's a 15 deal now just come out on money saving blobby blobs that I didn't take a huge amount of notice of, but I'm drastically looking now to see cheapest ever. It was 14. That was the one I'm talking about. Okay. £29 a month, 128 gig. I got it slightly wrong. 250 data, which is unlimited for most people.
Yeah, that's enough.
I'm guessing. £9 up front, $29.99 a month. For 24 months, and you get a 25 quid reward card later on. Total over 24 months, £703.76.
Yeah.
And I think that phone now is $699.
Yeah, so
basically a free service for two years, essentially. You're going to go up, obviously, but looking like inflation's getting under control. So it's going to probably go up sort of 4 or 5% each time, I guess, each April.
Yeah, that's still a great bargain.
Still going to be a decent bargain, isn't it? I don't know what that would do if you were to change that to a 15. I suspect it would jump quite a lot.
Yeah.
If you were to choose an iPhone 15. In fact, through the magic of the internet, I can tell you exactly within seconds. Instead of £9 up front, it changes to the extent of £149. So £140 more up front gives you a 15.
Okay.
And then all the other figures are the same, basically. Oh, you don't get the 25. You don't get the 25 quid gift card, but
that's still pretty good.
It's still pretty good. Or you can do 79 up front, 35 quid a month. Or you can do 9 quid up front if you're strapped, 38 quid a month. Now, of course, the higher you go to start with, the higher your rise is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to start to sort of break 40 quid. And I'm not convinced really that a 15 gives many people much more than a 14 right now.
Well, if you're looking for a bargain, you're certainly probably not worried about it.
No.
You know, one of the things to watch out, though, of course, is that the CPI price raise will be applied or could be applied to a pre-discounted price.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. I don't think it is in this case. I don't think it is.
No, that was the classic Black Friday deal.
Yeah.
Bear trap, wasn't it?
But I think this deal, if you go to the website, I did look at that when I got my Pixel, because obviously I factored that all in. I wrote a spreadsheet for it. So I know it doesn't apply to my one. Oh, this one's on with two different people, eSave and mobiles.co.uk, which I think is exactly the same company anyway. So that's pointless. And I think, so monthly cost is listed at £29.99, so it isn't listed at 40 quid crossed out 30 quid. So I don't think they can do that on this one, because that would be illegal.
Mind you, when they did it to us on that Black Friday deal, that was not made clear at all at the point of...
Really?
No.
I reckon you'd have a good case to get out of that.
You would. Really, and I think at least one of us tried to. I don't know how far we got with it, to be honest.
Fair enough. I wasn't aware of that. Missed it. I remember something vaguely about it. But I don't think that... Yeah, I think they'd be less likely, especially now Ofcom have stepped in. These companies must be under notice now to think, like, we're not going to get away with this for much longer. But, of course, just like everything else, then they'll just charge more up front.
Maybe, but
I guess
that's
to some degree. But at least
fine.
That way, you know what you're signing up for, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hopefully this will be a thing of the past soon and we can go back to normality.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember. It came in. Why did it come in? It was something.
Well,
didn't they?
Inflation was practically zero.
It was, yeah.
It was
cost.
Like, we want an inflation-like increase. So we're going to do the not very much CPI plus 3%, which will be kind of our, what we'd like to be, is some sort of inflationary increase. And then obviously when inflation goes to like 10%, they're rubbing their hands together going, oh, this is excellent. This worked out brilliantly.
Yeah, absolutely. But I feel like there was something that Ofcom or someone took away from them.
Maybe that was purely...
replaced it with this. I think there was. I'll have to look
into
that.
I mean, maybe it was that there was something about not being allowed mid-contract price rises and they took that away, maybe?
There was definitely something. There was definitely something. And I think it was along those lines that they said they couldn't do this anymore. And then all of a sudden, these things came in. Because I think you'll probably find it was something like they looked at it when they said you can't do that and they go, oh, by the way, that was always, you were always allowed to charge CPI, probably. So the chances are you were always allowed to charge that, and then they've found some little loophole in there to be able to go, well, as long as we print it in the thing up front. But you know Ofcom are not necessarily banning it.
Well, no, they might. I mean, they're looking at it, aren't they? They might come back and say, yeah, this is all great.
No, but even if they do something, it's more likely that they've just got to tell you up front in pounds and pence what they're going to do. They're not banning the ban. They're not even looking, as far as I know, at banning the process. They are just saying that you can't say CPI plus 3.9%. You've got to say this is how much it will be: £10 a month more, £3 a month more, £4 a month more. If you ever look at the actual,
They've got one. Right?
There's an actual example of how it would appear in an advert on the Ofcom website.
Right.
And it doesn't look to me like they're going to ban mid-price contract raises at all. They're just going to say they have to be more clear up front, which is fair enough in some respects, I guess. But
It's just disappointing that you don't see more companies saying no mid-contract price rises. I think there's only one or two, isn't there?
Sky have said it, haven't they?
Sky Mobile, yeah.
Sky Mobile have said it, but then on the other hand, they hide all their stuff behind a 3-year deal, making it look like it's cheap.
Yeah.
So they'll always find a way, I suppose, won't they, to catch people. But I mean, I suppose you could argue if they say it's 3 years, then people should read that. And if they haven't read it, then nothing's to say every contract is 2 years. In Canada, they've always been 3 years. Weirdly. So I suppose it's like any contract. If you're going to sign it, you better read it. But as we know, a very high percentage of people won't. But that's another story altogether, I think. Well, I better let you go, I think. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Unless we're not.
No, I think we're done.
I think we're done. Thanks
Good
ever so much
chat.
Again, mate, for stepping in.
Yeah, no
appreciate
problem.
Appreciate the help. And don't know when I'll see you again. Well, I will see you again, but I don't know when.
Yeah.
Are we going to, I think people are going to be a little bit disappointed that we haven't covered football because they've kind of got used to that now on the TTUK.
You've seen there's no club in more of a mess than Reading. And
that's why I kind of left the subject, really.
Ipswich are actually still doing all right.
Yeah, they got back to winning yesterday, which was nice, and their 10 points clear has been cut to 3, but I don't think any Ipswich fan ever thought. In fact, one of the newspapers, Sky actually, not one of the newspapers, Sky, when on one of the televised games at Portman Road, they went, one of the guy in the studio said he was just chatting to like some fans outside and he couldn't find a single Ipswich fan that thought Ipswich would finish in the top two. Literally no one would say that, everyone said, we'll be in the playoffs, so we've got a shot at it, And I think most of us still believe that that would be the case. And obviously, there's a few Ipswich fans moaning now in the YouTube comments section of various vlogs and things, the wheels have fell off, the bubble has burst. But I mean, Jesus, we'd have all taken this. We shouldn't, with our money and everything, we shouldn't be anywhere near that position. At all, because we don't even have a star player of any description, but I was pretty pleased with yesterday. That new, both the new players we took in January played really well and looked really quite good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's looking good. We just need a striker basically, because that's what we were doing. We lose our one striker probably for the rest of the season, and all of a sudden we're not Leeds, we're not Southampton. Certainly not Leicester. We don't have Premiership money.
A decent Championship striker doesn't grow on trees, though.
No, absolutely. Very few and far between. And the one we've got our eye on in Blackburn is they won't let him go because they can't find anyone else either. So it's a funny old game, as they say. Mm. But we won 2-1 yesterday, and the shortest guy on the pitch, in fact, probably one of the shortest guys in the world, headed, incredible headed goal. If you get a chance to watch it, it was absolutely ridiculous. He's about 4'7", I think, and
nice.
He knocked it in. So yeah, it was back to winning ways. And
well, as long as neither you or Leicester or any of the other guys get anywhere near the 106 record of number of points per season, then everything's all right.
I think that is under threat. And I'm not saying it's from Ipswich, but Leicester are almost certainly gonna take that off you boys, I'm afraid.
Nah.
I think that's happening.
I think the fact that they lost yesterday, that's a sign of things to come.
That was interesting, wasn't it? And that was something that I started watching that game, and I got to half time. Leicester had just scored via a penalty in the last dying seconds of the thing. And you think when a team, it was a dodgy penalty as well. So you think like when a team is flying, they get all the rubs as well. And I actually switched it off, went to do something in the halftime break, and I never got back to the game, put it that way. Never got back to it. And Then I quickly flick on the league championship table to see what happened, and they lost 3-1. And then when I watched the highlights, I think Coventry scored all three in about the last 10 minutes or something. Absolutely ridiculous. But that's why I like the championship.
Yeah.
And only half of me wants Ipswich to go up to the Premier League anyway, because then I've got to deal with VAR, which is God, it's disgusting. I hate VAR with a passion. Absolutely. I don't hate VAR. I hate how long it takes for them to sort themselves.
Yeah. But I think the biggest mistake any club or supporter say is, we prefer this lower league.
I know.
Or going down to this lower league is not too bad because, Reading, Wigan, there's 100 clubs that will tell you need to stay in the higher division as possible because as soon as you start going down, it's not that you just brilliant, you start winning every game and, catapult yourself back up again. That does happen, but 50% of the time it doesn't happen.
Absolutely. And I mean, it looks like it probably happened this year as it happens, but I think another year, how do I feel about going up to the Premier League? And we already know that if we were in the Premier League this year, we'd be in the bottom half of the table for sure. Possibly in the bottom three right now, because we've played a couple of Premiership teams and they've ripped us apart.
But finishing fourth from bottom in the Premier League is glory compared to finishing anywhere in the Championship.
See, I don't think it is. For money, it is. And I hate the fact there's so much money in football to start with. So I would rather watch the team playing like they've played this year and come third or fourth or second, the excitement of the fact that we might come second. And of course we want to go up to the Premier League, because especially if that leaves Norwich in the first of it, in the Championship, that's exactly what we want after all these years of being the other way around. And you want Man United coming down here and Liverpool and you want all those teams coming to Portman Road. That's exactly what you want to see. But I mean, we already pack the stadium every single week. Every single game is sold out now at Ipswich. So, we don't need the Premiership to do that. We can't get any more people into the ground. In fact, if we go up to the Premier League, we might have less of our own supporters, because you possibly have to give the opposition more tickets, I think, in the Premier League than you do in the lower divisions, I believe. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what the
There's definitely an allocation thing.
Yeah, I know it changes.
It's league dependent, I think.
So,
I don't know. I know that I've followed Ipswich for, you know, ever since I was younger. For 2.5, 3 years, I had a season ticket, or 3 seasons, I had a season ticket when I didn't work Saturdays many, 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 many years ago. I went to see them win the UEFA Cup in Amsterdam. I didn't get to Wembley for the FA Cup, unfortunately, because I couldn't get a ticket. But I obviously watched that on TV. And, you know, we've won the FA Cup, we've won the UEFA Cup. Norwich haven't won anything. They won a corner and celebrated that quite quite wildly, actually, at Portman Road. So I'm loving this year, obviously. But, you know, part of me wants to carry on enjoying that and thinking in the Premiership it'll just be a fight for survival. Because the gap now is so large. It never used to be. The gap is just ridiculous now. You know, and you've got teams, well, you know, teams like Coventry, Southampton, can't stay in there. And they, you know, they were always good teams. They were always in the Premier League or the top division.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've probably lost a few listeners. Yeah. I don't think anyone's listening now anymore.
No,
probably.
No. But that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Good to catch up.
Good to catch up. And hopefully Reading will improve. Are they going down to the next one? They're not, are they?
We were, and then we've kind of pulled up from the abyss. But
yeah, okay.
Basically, yes, and I mean, probably could go on for another like hour. But the most worrying thing is that the owner is now just getting rid of everyone at the club. So all of the catering, all of the like overnight stays for the players, all of the assistant managers and coaches, and you know, basically anyone who's not like in the squad or the actual manager seems to be at risk of being made redundant, and it's just a nightmare.
I mean, just looking at the table now, and I mean, it is amazing some of the teams that you see in that division, and we were there last year. It seems hard to believe, but there's some teams in there you just wouldn't really believe. When we beat, where are Wimbledon? Because I thought they were like at most one league below us, but they're two, aren't they? They're not in your division, are they, Wimbledon?
No idea.
They must be in League Two. My good God. You're only a couple of games off, like getting well clear of it, to be fair. So
yeah, AFC Wimbledon are in League Two. Yeah,
that is. Weren't they in the Premier League not that long ago? Have I mixed them up?
Several decades ago.
Oh, was it? Oh, I'm thinking of someone else then. Who the hell
There's the old MK Dons controversy, isn't it?
I don't know. Thinking of someone else who was in the Premier League. Anyway, right, I tell you what, we need to wrap it up. Otherwise, it's not going to pee myself. You know, me and the old boy, we normally take a break after about an hour, so we're hanging in
here. What are you referring
to
when you say that?
Say what?
The old boy?
Oh, the old boy, my dad, me, Mr. Yates.
Oh, okay,
Not me old boy down there. Oh, sorry, I see what you mean.
Yes,
no, that is involved in the conversation,
right.
But not, the old boy has. It sounds like you're calling Richard a dick. I don't know. Well, I guess that's
some sort of connection.
I guess that's short for Richard, so.
Exactly.
That works.
Totally justified.
That works. I mean, the one person that won't be listening is Richard, because we've been talking about football for the last 10 minutes. So,
He
will have
made
gone
a safe
10
space,
minutes ago. Yeah, absolutely. Lovely. Thanks, mate. Appreciate
All right.
it. Lovely.
See you later.
See you, everyone.
Bye.
See you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.